Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
This summer, saddle up with the only sportsbook where you can bet on horse racing, FanDuel. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $500. That's right, you'll get up to $500 back in racing credit if your first horse racing bet doesn't win. With FanDuel Sportsbook, you can even watch and bet select races live right in the app. So, bet horse racing on the same app where you bet all your other favorite sports. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just download the app or go to FanDuel.com/horses to score your no-sweat bet up to $500. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Offer valid on first real money wager of $5 or more. Verified FD racing account required. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable racing site credit that expires 7 days after issuance. Max refund $500. Restrictions apply. See terms at racing.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Android. Recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. On Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. Communicate with us and Heat fans all day long. This is where you get all the information first these days. Again, the link is right here in the description. $2.99 per month. You won't even feel it. And you won't be going back on Twitter all the time. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Prize Picks. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. It is legal, again, in the state of Florida. We know that the NHL and NBA are on hiatus. But you got MLB, the NFL futures are on there now. You've got all kinds of different sports. You can play players together, put up to four players together in your lineup, and you can win big. So go to prizepicks.com, use the code FIVE. Again, it's prizepicks.com. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscay. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop in one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. Check out the last episode we did about the signing of Haywood Highsmith. Now we're trying to put things in some kind of perspective in terms of where the team actually stands before we get to a whole bunch of Team USA coverage. I did an episode with Alex Dono on the YouTube channel today on the Five Guys. We call it the Five Guys. We go every Tuesday and Thursday. We cover all South Florida sports, but I got Alex to indulge me on some Heat stuff. And we were trying to look at where the Heat stand in the East. And, you know, you get to seven teams pretty quickly that on paper could be as good or better than Miami. There's four or five teams that are just going to be awful. And then there's kind of like Atlanta and Chicago. You know, they're just like, they're always going to be in the 9 and the 10. Seems like no matter who they have. This is not a place. This is a winning or misery team president. I know he's backed off from that a little bit in recent years, but even last year, he just, you know, Eric Spoelstra described the Heat as one of those teams. They were coming off a finals appearance, even though they actually entered, I guess, as an 8 seed after losing a play-in game. And, you know, there was expectation. I thought the team was going to be better last year. It wasn't. A lot of it was availability, but some of it was fit and performance and consistency. And they ended up basically with a flat net rating. And, of course, they lost a huge game up in Indiana towards the end of the season, which really damaged their hopes. And then they ended up in a play-in game. And then Jimmy Butler, who had, let's be honest, coasted for a good portion of the regular season, seemed to be turning it on as he promised, and then he got hurt, and then pretty much that was it. I don't know if the roster, if this team, and we've talked about it, Greg, is better or worse than last year. I think a lot of it has to do with the development of a couple of the higher upside young players. But I do know that nobody's going to be picking this team to be in the top four.
No.
And I guess the question is, like, what has to break right for them just to get in the top six? That's what we're going to do today. So you start. I mean, what's the number one thing that needs to break right, in your opinion?
Well, first, I think it's important that we detail that they were only two games in the loss column from being out of the fourth seed last year with all that went wrong. And I know that there's been lots of different changes, but I expect parity to continue in the East. So it's never as bleak as we feel it is, or as fans may make it out to be. But to your point, availability is going to come first with this team. They're going to need a string of good health. I'm actually going to piggyback off of that and say that the other really big component here is that they're going to need big leaps from their young players. And so that's something to look forward to. You know, availability is kind of a layup of an answer. So that's why I want to give you something with a little more meat on it. And that is Jaime Jaquez, Nico Jovic, those guys taking a big leap. That's something fans can look up, look out for, and the team needs desperately.
I'm with you on that. We'll get some more of that in a minute. But we talk about availability. I mean, Alex, isn't the number one thing that they need to get and engage Jimmy Butler from day one, which they're kind of counting on right now based on his contract situation?
Don't feel great about the whole counting on it thing, because that's not exactly the direction it's been trending over the past few years. It's not like he, you know, from day one, year one of him on the Heat, he was giving you playoff Jimmy. You know, in the regular season, I think we've always felt this way, except it's only gotten worse. Because I remember, like, these types of complaints being there in the first season that he was here, too, where it's like, people expected him to be like a 25 points per game type of guy in the regular season, and he's been more like, you know, 21. That's how it started, right? And so I'm not expecting him to turn up and be this guy who all of a sudden plays 70-plus games and is playing at the top of his game. I can't expect that. Like, I can't. And so, yeah, like, I agree with you that would change a lot. Like, that's the best path towards, you know, staying out of the play-in. But as of right now, they're expected to be a play-in team, and they should be. Once again, they're gonna find a different way to call them dangerous loomers in March or whatever. But nobody's going to be afraid of this team. Like, it's just, it's what it is. The East has not only gotten deeper, but the best teams have gotten better. Right. So you get, it's both things. Well, and when I say deeper, I mean deeper as far as like good teams, not that there's, you know, 12 contenders or anything like that. Cause like you said, there's plenty of bad teams. And I also think like even that middle is going to come down a bit this year. Like there might be a 9 and 10 seed in there who are nowhere near playoff teams because, you know, the Raptors don't have Siakam and the Bulls traded DeRozan, who is a big time like floor raiser. I don't think they're going to be anywhere near that. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they get like 80 games out of LaVine and he's playing well along with Kobe White, who's turned into a really good player here. But I really doubt that. I doubt that LaVine is going to have a career year right now. And I think the Bulls are going to be bad. I think the Raptors are going to be bad. Maybe not as bad as some of the other teams, but the actual pool of playoff teams has gotten better. And I think that's where what has left fans frustrated on top of, you know, the lack of moves or whatever and the lack of flexibility. So now it's like Jimmy can't be what you depend on. I don't think it's a sustainable plan. I think the way that you built this roster, you're actually kind of depending on Terry, Tyler, on top of like the internal development from Jaime and Jovic and whatever you get from your rookies and, you know, whatever average play you get from your vets like Jay Rich and Burks and Love, like guys who will kind of just keep the rotation intact. I don't know that that's a great plan, though. But Terry and Tyler, like those two guys, are going to be carrying a lot of offense this year. I'm just trying to prepare people for that because that is what they traded for Terry. Traded for Terry for. Tyler was already doing that. You know, even Duncan was having, you know, his own fair share of the offense. Like, I think we're going to see a lot of guys contributing, and I think that's the blueprint of this team. I don't think it's Jimmy carrying them. I think we're past that point. And I don't think that should be the move either, because if you're trying to contend, we've already seen, like, I don't think like trying to gas out Jimmy in the regular season is the move to be good in the playoffs for this team. Like he's going to be 35 years old. I I don't think that's the move.
Well, I don't think it's the move to force it. I think that there has to be an expectation of more overall engagement. And we've talked about this before.
Tyler's got to play more than 42 games.
Well, I get it, and we'll get to Tyler. But I'm saying, like, as far as Jimmy goes, like, you know, it's not just the games he misses. It's the games he played but was not into it. That was more, I think, my frustration, and I really think that's more was the Heat's frustration. Was like, okay, if we're gonna miss 22, and, you know, there's gonna be good reason for 15 to 17 of them. All right, but then in the 60 that we play, particularly against the good teams, can we get max effort?
Yes, he needs to play better against the big teams. I think that's more important.
Good team. And again, we talk about the stats against top 10 defenses and everything else along those lines. Like, that is. That they were not good. I mean, he was, you know, basically a 19-point scorer and about 41-42% shooting. That's, we can talk about Tyler. We're going to talk about Tyler. I understand that. I know where people go with this when we focus too much on Jimmy, but Jimmy is the highest paid player. Well, is he now? I guess the BAM extension kicks.
Yeah, you know, no, he still is. This.
He still is. So, I mean, there's still has to be an expectation that he's going to play at a higher level. When we come back, though, I want to talk more. We'll talk about Tyler. I want to talk more, though, about Jaime and Jovic and what is reasonable to expect based on past jumps that players have made and sort of how they fill in the role players. Do want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Water Cleanup of Florida. We mention them all the time. They got you covered every step of the way. If you've got a leak in your home or business, make sure that you reach out to them right away. So they take care of it. The preventative maintenance is the most important thing. But of course, if something happens, they can handle the damage assessment, work with the insurance companies, and everything else along those lines. So reach out to them at WCUFL.com, based in Boca Raton. Again, it's WCUFL.com, but they service the entire Tri-County area. More than 75-star reviews on Google. And again, they'll take you through the entire process. It's Water Cleanup of Florida. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
All right, so before we get to Jaime and Jovic, Greg, what is it? I mean, looks like Tyler Herro is going to be on the roster. Looks like Terry Rozier is going to be on the roster. He confirmed today what we've been saying, that he's expected to be ready for Heat camp. What are reasonable expectations? Can Tyler and Terry be floor raisers for this team if they're both healthy?
They're going to have to be. And I think they're going to rely on both of them offensively. Alex alluded to it. He's absolutely right. Like, this team has now boxed itself in a way where Terry and Tyler have to be huge contributors if you're going to be good or if you're going to even be respectable. So it's going to be the decisions that are made with the rotation and things like that and who complements who that I think are going to, you know, show us if they can maximize those guys. I don't know that them together, playing together, is going to be the answer necessarily. We've chronicled that on this show, but both of those guys are going to have to play really well for this team to climb out of the play-in and fortify a spot in the top six. I think that there's no doubt about that. What I'm interested to see is if one of them is able to accept a six-man role and really embrace that. And then that raises the floor of the rotation. Just the bench is better and things like that. And for the betterment of the team, like that, that's where this is heading for me. But it's just interesting because I think both are thought of as starters at this point.
Well, and for that too, I mean, they need a healthy Duncan Robinson, because if Duncan is hurting the way he was hurting in the last month of the season into the playoffs, then it's really hard to separate Herro and Rozier in any significant way. I mean, we talk about them playing well together, but they're going to have to play with Duncan at times. And, you know, look, this team, you know, I don't know who the other shooter is going to be. Is it going to be Burks? We talked about some rotation stuff. I don't know if you can project him as a long-term rotation option. Seems like kind of a, you know, and then again, Pelle Larsson, we don't know. I mean, I, you know, shown some things in summer league, but he's a young player. You don't know how he's going to adjust right away. Alex, I've made the case that Tyler has gotten better over the course of his NBA career, but it's been marginal each year. Is there any hope of a bigger jump?
I don't have my hopes up for that. And it's not like trying to throw shade at Tyler in any way. I think the, you know, like we've talked about for so long, the physical limitations are what they are. And I just think it limits who he can be as a player. And I know he doesn't like hearing that. And, you know, it's fine. Like if Tyler hears this or just hears that sentiment in general and doesn't like it, that's fine. Like he's a competitor. He's one of the, you know, the he's in the NBA for a reason. He's one of the best competitors in the world. I get it. He's supposed to feel that way. But just from looking, you know, from the outside in, I just think he kind of is who he is. I don't know if that's unfair. I still think he can get better at certain parts of the game and keep growing marginally, but I don't see a big leap happening. I don't want it to be this thing where they try to force him to do even more, right?
26 like, points per game.
Please stop it. Stop it. Like that stuff is ridiculous. I'm sorry. Like Tyler averaging 26 points per game is not a bad thing inherently. The problem is how are you getting to it? Right. I don't think his game is like, unless all of a sudden he comes back in and he's like a lot stronger and he doesn't lose the weight over the season. And all of a sudden, like he's getting to the free throw line more. Like if you've added stuff like that, yeah, that's great. But if you're doing more of what you're doing, you better be getting to 26 points per game, coming off the ball more and not just playing on ball pick and roll, which he's going to do plenty of. I'm not saying he shouldn't do any of it. What I'm saying is I think he's got to keep, you know, advancing and you know, like the arc of his career where it's like you keep adding and polishing stuff to your game. Even if it's if you're not adding anything like huge, it's more like just figuring out, you know, when to take certain shots. And to me, it's just about polishing who he is already. And I think that's what the growth, you know, that's how players get into their prime. It's not because, you know, a lot of times they added something that they didn't have. They just got better and kind of put it all together and polish their game. I think Tyler can still do more of that. And I think he was showing growth as far as being willing to play off ball when we did see him play with Terry. And just a quick stat here, by the way, just that I thought was interesting. And this is not, you know, an end all be all by any means, but it was just kind of surprising to me. I was looking at the data on, pbpstats.net with Tyler, Terry, and Duncan, and they were like a +3. I mean, I'm sorry, Tyler, Terry, and Bam, not Duncan. Tyler, Terry, and Bam were a +3 net rating. And when you look at Terry, Duncan, and Bam, it was a -6.30 net rating. So you wouldn't – that's a pretty surprising gap to me. Just before we get into this thing, we're like we're declaring that they can't work together. I've already said, like, I don't think that's the move. Like, when you get to, like, the playoffs or anything, I still think you got to work out some of those kinks. And I think it almost forced Tyler – to grow as an off-ball player a little bit last year. I'm not saying he is now a solely off-ball movement player, nothing like that, right? But I think, like, I would like to see him be put into that position again because I know he will be, right? And I want to see how he adjusts to it or if he still just try to force his playing, like, more on ball. I think him finding the balance of his game is what this is about now.
Do you think that there's more of a chance for a Terry jump, Greg, from what we saw last season, then there is a chance for a Tyler jump?
Maybe from an impact perspective, but not necessarily statistically. I'm not looking for Terry Rozier to be like the 20-point-per-game guy that he was in Charlotte. Charlotte was an awful team, and he averaged 20. That's not his role here. It's more about the impact, the way that he balances being a scorer when they need him to be a scorer, getting to the basket and finishing better. He needs to be a better finisher for this team to be good. So that's something to watch for. I think he can probably make a more – this is the thing. They didn't really get to see Terry Rozier on this team for a long period of time. So that really is, if you're looking for something incremental from the playoff team we watched, you know, against Boston – it's Terry Rozier. So that's just where I lean in that direction. Having a healthy Tyler obviously is going to change things. But for me, it's Terry kind of taking command of the offense to a degree and learning to be a point guard on this team, because that's not the same as being a lead guard in Charlotte.
To me, the biggest thing that we need to see from Terry is, you know, he started to make a lot of clutch shots for them. late in the season before he got hurt. His numbers in those situations were pretty good. I mean, once he started to find the jumper, and I do think that there are more actions that they're going to run to get Terry those looks at the end of games this year. So I want to see him in those clutch spots. I do want to pivot to the other two guys here before we close. We talked about him at the beginning, Hakez and Jovic. So I'll throw this at you, Alex. Which of those two players' growth is more important for this year? I'm not talking about for the future. I'm talking about for this year.
My instant reaction is Jaime. And that's without having, you know, thought on it or anything, but I feel pretty good about that answer just because I think he is somebody who is – not that there's no upside for Jovic. He's only 20 years old, and he's already grown a lot. You know, I'm still excited about him and his upside. Still expecting to be a starter, wanting to be a starter. So just making that clear because I know people get defensive about Jovic. But, look, I think Jaime is somebody who has scoring upside, you know, and I think he has clear parts of his game that are a strength. And we talked about it last year, and I talked about it, that I think they can get to him in the post more. I think they can, you know, maybe just try to find different ways to get him in the post, right? It doesn't always have to be the same. And like the way that they try to get Jimmy and Bam in the post with certain sets. Like, I think they can run similar things like that and kind of get him in his office there because you need extra scoring. And I think that's the way that he can kind of up his production. And if you are starting Tyler and Terry, and if Jaime is coming off the bench, maybe he's kind of like that six man type of guy. And I know everybody like wants Tyler to come off the bench. I get it. I get why. I think Duncan is better as a starter and more impactful as a starter. You know, the fact of the matter is when he did start with Terry and Jovic, those, like we mentioned in the last pod, those, you know, the net rating wasn't great. So I'm not saying don't go back to it, whatever. But if it seems like Terry and Tyler is going to be the starting backcourt, and if that is the case and Jovic is starting there with them, Jaime is going to have a big role off the bench. And I love that role for him. You know, the fact that you can sub out Jimmy and have a, you know, a mini Jimmy come in and I think a guy who can get you a lot of stuff in the paint is that's sorely needed. You weren't able to trade for, you know, another big time creator, you know, other than Terry. And I think at this point it's, you know, you got to find ways to get Jaime more in his office and not just trying to fit in alongside others. I know maybe it's a little bit early to do that, but I think the way that this roster is built, you should find ways to, I think, maximize your guys. And it doesn't only have to be that, right? Like, I like him playing alongside others too and trying to figure that out, figure out that role so that he can play different ways. But I do think if you want to get the most out of Jaime and get a jump from him and get more paint touches from somebody else because you need it, I think that's the way to go. I think that he's got a lot of upside there and they can go to him more.
Well, Greg, I mean, we saw him kind of break through the rookie wall at the end of the season. It's interesting because in some ways I thought that they kind of found their game a little bit, even though, again, some of the net rating stuff didn't show it, although I know, Alex, you don't like individual net rating, and Jovic's was very good, but I know when you start to group it with other players, there were some combinations that didn't work that well. But they kind of found their game when Jovic sort of found his place next to Bam, I thought. And so I could argue with that it's Jovic because, again, it does seem like his overall upside may be higher from where he kind of came from. But I do agree with Alex that I think for this year it's still Hakez. And it's because they just desperately need somebody who can get them a bucket. They're still in that position, right?
Someone has to soak up the Caleb Martin touches too and what he did for the offense, which was not, you know, I mean, I'm not saying he was a dynamic scorer, but he did make plays and get buckets at times. And you know, he could have a breakout game here or there. Jaime's going to soak up all of that usage, all of those minutes. So to me, that's his major opportunity. It's maybe a blessing in disguise that Caleb isn't here because they're going to kind of have to throw caution to the wind with Jaime's role. And to Alex's point, let him play his game versus fit into some specific role. And I think that that's just going to be best coming off the bench.
I think as we come up with some of these things, a lot of this, we haven't talked about it, but they're going to need some other teams not to live up to expectations, honestly. You're going to need Milwaukee to struggle with depth, which it does. I don't really like their roster beyond their top two at this point. There's really nothing you can do to get Boston to come all the way back. Philadelphia, I think they're going to be fine. I think they are fortified against some of their previous problems because I think Nick Nurse is a better coach than they've had before. And I think Paul George actually slots in pretty perfectly there. So it's hard to really see where the weaknesses are going to be for them. The Knicks, I can see more problems than maybe people are anticipating. I do think Indiana, there was a little bit of a flukishness to their run last year. I think the teams also have scouted Halliburton in a way now that he's going to have to adjust. Obviously, they have Siakam for a full season. Orlando should be better, but we see teams that are young, and they've added KCP, but we see young teams that slip back the next year a little bit. And Cleveland, yeah, they re-signed Mitchell, but they really didn't address that their four top players don't really fit that well together at times. There's duplication in the backcourt. There's duplication in the frontcourt. So again, I'm looking for things here. I'm searching. I think probably Vegas will have the Heat seventh in the East to start the season. We'll see where this goes in about a month. But they are going to need a couple of teams to not meet expectations. And look, that happens every year. And then they're going to have to capitalize on it. But the other teams' stars seem more inclined to give effort during the regular season than Jimmy does. Other teams seem to have a little bit better balance on the roster. And that's why, again, as much as I try to be positive guy here, I think there are five or six teams the Heat are clearly better than the East. I think there are probably five or six teams that they are clearly not as good as in the East, at least as things stand. All right, thanks, Water Cleanup of Florida. Thanks to Prize Picks. Use the code 5. We'll have more episodes for you during the week.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.